You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Well, how about that? As we said, Brain, vibes were bad following that Monday night game against the Tennessee Titans. Vibes were bad. But as we also said, these games are not decided by vibes. They're decided on the field. And the Miami Dolphins cared not about the vibes of the fan base because they went out there on Sunday and laid a completely dominant 30-0 thumping on the New York Jets, Brain. It was fantastic.
It felt good, not going to lie. That was everything that you wanted to see from this team. With all the injuries, all of the negativity, all of the haters, the buzzards swirling around this team, waiting for them to fold and fully collapse. And I'm not saying that they're above that at this point, but it didn't happen on Sunday. They were ready. They made a statement on Sunday. They didn't just eke out and find a way to win. They came out and they took the Jets' soul. You know what they did? You remember Mortal Kombat?
I do remember Mortal Kombat.
They Kano'd the Jets.
Oh, that is a good reference.
They
on the
reached
Same Old Dolphin
right
show.
Into their ribcage and they pulled out their heart. They looked at it, and they held it up for all of the world to see.
That's a very good visual. I like it. It's also a very good analogy, and it's accurate. The Miami Dolphins just, they literally snuffed out the Jets season because the Jets were eliminated from playoff contention with that loss. So that's a beautiful thing to behold. It probably, I'm not going to say it completely eliminates the possibility that we see Aaron Rodgers this season in a Jets uniform again, but it certainly reduces the possibility a great deal. And it now puts the Dolphins in a place where they are, well, as we said before, they were in complete control of their own destiny and they remained that way. This was a huge win. And I think there is temptation from some people to try to move the goalposts and say that, well, the Dolphins won, but it was just the Jets. And here's what I'm going to say. We knew going in that the Dolphins were beat up and the Dolphins were hurt and the Dolphins were coming off of a demoralizing loss because of the fashion in which it happened on Monday night. And when you looked at that situation and you looked at the way that the Dolphins were coming into this game, banged up, and then as you get your 90 minutes before the game and you find out that Xavien Howard not going to play, Tyreek Hill not going to play. You are getting Teron Armstead back. Liam Eikenberg is going to gut it out, but otherwise you're missing those two big pieces. And then not to mention Deshaun Elliott, Javon Holland, you're also missing those guys. When you looked at that situation and you looked at what the Dolphins were going with on the offensive line, and you looked at the fact that they weren't going to have Tyreek Hill with a guy that many people believe, and I think you could make a credible argument for being the MVP of the National Football League this year, not going to play. You looked at that situation and you said, it doesn't matter how you do it. You have to just go out there. You have to find a way to win. And I would have been perfectly fine with the Dolphins walking out of Hard Rock Stadium with a 9-6 kind of victory on Sunday, in which they didn't find the end zone, but they kicked three field goals and they won the game. I would have been completely fine with that. And I said to you beforehand in a private text message, because I was in my anxious feelings for this game. I just did not feel good about this game going into Sunday. I said, I feel like there is a possibility that this is how bad the vibes were just on my personal end. I'm maybe there are other people that felt this way, but I was legitimately afraid that if these are the same old Dolphins, they might come out here and they might get blown out by the Jets in their own building, which would have been completely humiliating, completely embarrassing. And you came back to me, Brain. What did you say to me?
I said, I don't really remember. I think I said, you know, it's 50-50. I don't think we'll get blown out. You just got to find a way to get a win.
Yeah, what you said was, if this team gets blown out by the Jets, they're way worse than I believe that they right. truly are, is what
exactly.
you said.
Yeah.
And then I thought about that for a second and I go, okay. But if they blow the Jets out, they're probably a little bit better than you think they are. And Brain, what did they do? Remind me of the final score.
The Dolphins scored 30 and the Jets scored 0.
Brain, do you know what the Jets' total net yards is from that game on Sunday?
I know it was, what was it? It was like 4 yards at halftime. I think they moved the ball better in the second half, but did they get to 200?
The Jets, didn't get to 200. No, they barely got to 100. They finished with 103 total net yards.
Yeah, that's...
It was one of the most dominant defensive showings in Miami Dolphins history. And I don't care who you're playing. I don't care how futile the offense is. They knock Zach Wilson out of the game with dehydration, which turns out to be a concussion, but whatever. They knock him out of the game. They get Trevor Siemian in there, and it's no better. The Dolphins completely shut down the Jets. Breece Hall had nothing to do. I'm going to lose my fantasy playoff match because of it, and I'm fine with it. And not only that, Jalen Ramsey basically put the lockdown on Garrett Wilson. The Dolphins knew that Xavien Howard wasn't going to be available for this game, so they said, Jalen, you're gonna shadow Garrett Wilson, you're gonna follow him around, and he just completely put the clamps down on Wilson in this game. I believe, let me pull up Wilson's final receiving stats. He had 3 receptions for 29 yards in this game. That is against one of the better receivers in the league. And I mean, you can say what you want about the Jets, but Garrett Wilson is a very, very, very good player, and the Dolphins just shut him down. There's no other word than to say that this was a dominant victory for the Miami Dolphins. And whether it was against the Jets or anybody else, that's still a National Football League team out there, and you shut them down. Dominant performance.
Yeah, absolutely. In every facet of the game. I mean, to me, the most impressive part of this game wasn't just the numbers, even though they were impressive. The impressive part of this game was the number of players who had to step up into larger roles than they are intended to play, coming up with big plays. Brandon Jones, 2 interceptions. Elijah Campbell with a PBU. Jalen Waddle, obviously having the game of his season. Braxton Berrios with not just a really great catch on a 50-50 ball, but also a nice return. The special teams in general stepped up and played well. I just think that this was everything that you were hoping and not necessarily expecting to see. The Dolphins completely rallied around each other and got everybody to step up for one game. Now, you're going to need the guys to get healthier to beat the teams that are coming up. But for one game against that opponent, you just needed to have guys step up to get the job done. And you probably would have gotten away with it if it was just a handful of guys. But every single guy on that team stepped up and played a great game.
They truly did.
Every single one of them.
They truly did. It was a really just a, it was exactly what you needed to see if you're a Miami Dolphin fan. Everything was everything that you wanted to see. And so we're going to talk a little bit about more about this game, and then we're going to talk about where that leaves the Dolphins and where they go from here. We're not going to get too much into Dallas because we got another show later this week to discuss that. So, but we're going to talk about this game and where that leaves the Dolphins, because it does leave them, like I said, in pretty good shape for making the postseason. We'll get more into that in just a moment. But first, a reminder, if you're not doing so already, to make sure that you are following us on Twitter. Following us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. I am at Amplified to Rock. He is at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. We invite you to download, rate, review, and subscribe to the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcasts. Make sure you like this video if you're watching live on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. If you're watching live on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, smash that like button. We appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. We've got a lot of great new content coming your way. We're adding to the team. You've probably heard some of the announcements. Marissa Marino, we got Bearded Fanatic. We got Steve with the Clock Blocker show. Lots of good stuff coming your way here at DolphinsTalk.com. So subscribe to the channel. Make sure that you turn on notifications so you're notified every time we go live. Visit DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It is your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. And yeah, make sure you're following along, because there might only be 3 weeks left of the regular season, but hopefully there are quite a few more weeks left to go before the Miami Dolphins stop playing football. And Brain, let's talk about specifically that, because after this victory against the Jets, the Miami Dolphins now sit there at 10-4. Right behind them in the division is the Buffalo Bills, who are 8-6, because the Bills got a pretty dominant victory of their own on Sunday over the Dallas Cowboys. But because of the way that some of the other results shook out, the Miami Dolphins, at 10-4, are currently the number 2 seed in the AFC playoff picture. Now, they do control their own destiny still for the 1 seed, because they will play in Baltimore in 2 weeks. And so, put quite frankly, if the Dolphins beat the Cowboys, then beat the Ravens, they will have the same record as Baltimore and hold the head-to-head tiebreaker over them. And then if the Dolphins were to go on and win their final game of the regular season, they would be the number 1 seed. So what the Dolphins know is if they go 3-out, win the next 3 games, they are the number 1 seed in the AFC. Here's what they also know. If they defeat Dallas and Baltimore, independent of what the Buffalo Bills do, they will be the AFC East champions prior to week 18. If they are to win one of those 2 games, and the Bills were to drop one of their 2 games against the Chargers or the Patriots, which seems unlikely, if they were to go 1-1 in that 2-game stretch, and the Bills were to go 1-1 or worse in the 2-game stretch, the Dolphins would be AFC East champions. If the Dolphins were to lose both of the next 2 games, lose to Dallas, lose to Baltimore, but still beat the Bills in week 18, they would be the AFC East champions. So that game is sitting there looking like there's a lot of meaning attached to it. And by nature of the fact that they beat the Jets, even if they were to lose all 3 of their remaining games, there is a very good chance. I don't believe they've officially clinched yet. Things still have to play out. But I believe that at this moment in time, even if the Dolphins were to lose out, they would still make the playoffs as a wild card team. That is a worst case scenario, and let's hope it doesn't come to that. But just know that it's out there, and that victory on Sunday against the Jets is what basically sealed the deal for them. So that's where the Dolphins are, in complete control of their own destiny. We can get into the permutations and, you know, the fact that Buffalo does have to travel across the country on a short week to take on the Los Angeles Chargers, who last played on Thursday. That game's on Saturday night. Buffalo just played on Sunday. Chargers played on Thursday. Chargers just fired their head coach, and sometimes there's a bump You get a bump in performance when you fire the head coach. So who knows? I still have a hard time believing the Bills are going to lose that game. But the fact of the matter is, Dolphins control their own destiny, Brain. And I mean, that's as good a place to be as any.
Yeah. I mean, look, obviously, if you had won the game against Tennessee, you'd have this amazing cushion. Whereas not only would you control your own destiny, but if you would win the next three games, you would actually clinch the number one seed before you even play Buffalo.
Right.
That didn't happen. They blew that game. Whatever. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, social media, that are, they keep going back to this, you know, how are you feeling, people who were rooting for the Bills to beat the Chiefs a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I was one of those people. I was rooting for the Bills to beat the Chiefs because my feeling is that if you are a Super Bowl contender, you don't worry about the team trying to sneak into the playoffs. You worry about what's going to give you the best opportunity to get the number one seed. And since you lost to the Chiefs earlier this season, if you had not, you know, if the Bills had not beaten the Chiefs, we would not control our own destiny. And I think in looking at this team needs home field advantage. And look, am I concerned with how good the Bills have looked the last couple of weeks? Sure, I am. But also, if you cannot win a home game against Buffalo, whether in the regular season or in the playoffs, you do not deserve to win the Super Bowl. Do I want to play Buffalo in the playoffs? No. Do I look forward to, do I wish that that game, and it could still happen, that that game is meaningless and that the Dolphins have wrapped up a number one seed? That could happen. If Baltimore loses to San Francisco, we win out and the Chiefs lose, you know, either to the Raiders, who are playing very well, or to the Bengals, who are playing very well, then that last game of the season will still be meaningless and the Dolphins will have the number one seed. Those things don't look super likely, but at the end of the day, I am far more concerned with the Dolphins getting the number one seed than I am about winning the division. Because if the Dolphins don't win the division, it means that they will finish with a record of what? No better than 11-6?
If they don't win the division?
Yeah, if they don't win the division, their record would be no better than 11-6.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have meant that after a 9-3 start, you lost three of the last five games to blow the division lead, including the home game against Buffalo. And if that's the case, well, then this isn't a Super Bowl team. So it doesn't matter. But if you believe that this team has a shot, and I believe that this team has a shot, this team needs home field advantage. And that bye would be really huge considering all of the injuries that we're talking about. And also, if you don't want to play Buffalo, hey, I got news for you. There's a good chance that Buffalo is going to make the playoffs regardless of whether or not we beat them in the last week of the season. So if you're the 2 seed or the 3 seed, you might have to play that team in the first round. If you get the number 1 seed, you don't play anybody in the first round. And the next week, you get a home game against a team that is going to have played a really tough physical game. This team needs to get the number 1 seed. And the best thing for that to happen was for the Chiefs to lose that game. Just take care of business. At this point, I don't care about Buffalo. If Buffalo gets in our way, well, then you got to take care of business when you get there. But right now, I'm not worried about the Bills.
Bills are getting a lot of attention right now because of the way that they've played their last three games and the fact that they probably should have beaten Philadelphia, but didn't, And the fact that maybe they probably shouldn't have beaten Kansas City, but did. But the fact that they played the way that they played in those three games and then just completely dominated the Cowboys, a lot of people are buzzy about the Bills. And the Bills are the team that, I mean, let's face it. Let's face it. If you win a division, right, the Bills are the team that no division winner wants to face in the first round of the playoffs. Nobody wants to face them because the Bills are a buzzsaw right now. And the Bills have the look about them right now of a team that is getting right at the exact right time of the season. The team that is playing their very best football at the right time of the season. The Bills, in a lot of ways, look just like the San Francisco 49ers right now, playing their best football at the absolute right time. So that's what, if you're, you know, from a Dolphins perspective, you don't want to run into the Bills, but the Dolphins will also likely have the ability in that final game of the season to potentially knock the Bills completely out of playoff contention anyway. So they might be sitting there with the opportunity to do everybody a favor, including themselves. And, it, you know, the other thing to think about is if they don't beat both Dallas and Baltimore, they might be going into that Week 18 game against Buffalo knowing that they've got to win that game to avoid turning around and having to travel to Buffalo the following week. So, and that's certainly nothing that any Dolphin fan wants to see. No matter how optimistic you are, you certainly don't want to see this Dolphins team having to travel to Buffalo for the first round playoff game.
Or potentially missing out on the playoffs altogether if things fall a certain way.
Yes, and that actually remains a slight possibility at this point as well. But I mean, you know, God, I hope we're not it's panic stations again if we're coming into that Week 18 game on a two-game losing streak. Hopefully that's not the case. Because I think we learned some things about this team in this game, Bryn. And first of all, it was very pleasant. It was a very nice thing to see that Mike McDaniel said, okay, I've got an idea of how we can win this game, knowing that we've got a beat-up offensive line so that our quarterback is not going to have a lot of time to throw the ball and that we might not be able to run. I mean, this is not a coach that likes to run up the middle anyway, but he got creative with a lot of quick outs, quick short passes, screens. We knew that was going to factor in, and it did a great deal. But he also really committed to that ground game, and the Dolphins ran the ball okay. They didn't run the ball tremendously in this game, but they did okay, and they did enough to win. And this was Mike McDaniel saying, you don't think I know how to build a team that can win without Tyreek Hill? Well, here you go. And they did that, Brain. They did.
Yeah, I thought it was good. It was a good game plan, I think. Quick passes, essentially like long handoffs. I think building your quarterback's confidence after a week of everybody telling him how terrible he was, build his confidence early and also get that defense to suck up. Get that defense to think, hey, the Dolphins aren't even gonna try to test us deep. And just go short, 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 short. And then when you get a shot at man coverage on the outside with Jalen Waddle, you make him pay. And that's what this game was about for Tua. And like, great game plan by Mike McDaniel, but really great execution by Tua. Because this game was about Tua not carrying the team. This was a team victory. Every single aspect of the game. The running game, the offensive line, the defense, the special teams. But on the offense and Tua specifically, don't make the big mistake. Get yourself into third and manageable and make the play on third down and keep the chains moving. And when you get a chance to make a big play, make the big play. And that's what Tua did. Tua did everything that Brock Purdy is being lauded about right now is what Tua did in this game.
Yeah, it was absolutely what he did. He just completely took care of business and did everything that he was supposed to do. And, you know, what more can you ask for? Really, I won't say it was a perfect performance, but it was damn good. So I think you learned a lot about Mike McDaniel in this game. You also learned a great deal about Tua Tagovailoa, and it was nice to see him have a pretty good game out here as well. You know who else we learned something else?
It was a conservative game plan, but it should have been a concern. It was the right time to have Absolutely. A conservative game plan because you're playing a team that cannot move the football.
Right.
They can't score. So it makes sense to play a conservative game plan, especially considering the injuries that you're dealing with. And the Dolphins played the conservative game to perfection.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was the definition of just taking what they're giving you and not trying to get too far out in front of yourselves. And by so doing, they were able to put them in the perfect position. And the other thing that they needed to do in this game was play clean. And that's largely what they did. There were some holding penalties, which are to be expected. You got a Robbie Chosen lining up offside penalty, which, yes, he was offside. Can I go on a mini rant here about this stupid call?
You can, and I'm going to agree with you, but give me like 10 seconds to rebut it after you're done.
I here's the thing. The call on the field, first of all, the call on the field is exactly correct. Okay. I have no problem with, at the moment, I was pretty upset, right? I was not happy about the fact that call was made, but the call was absolutely correct. The thing that I hate is that the NFL clearly made a decision in the middle of the season that they were going to start cracking down on offensive players lining up offsides, and that they issued this mandate, and it's clear that it's happened because you weren't hearing about it. And now suddenly you're seeing that call, you know, almost every game you're seeing at least one offensive offsides call, right? And I mean, we're talking like, I think probably it had been years since I had heard an offensive offside call before that Buffalo game a few weeks ago. Right. So that's what bothers me, is the NFL making a decision in the middle of the season that they're going to start cracking down on this rule. I don't have an issue with it being a rule, and I don't have an issue with, you know, the fact that flags are being thrown, that guys are offside. But I don't like the fact that this is like, hey, we need to start focusing on this right now in the middle of the season. That is something that just annoys the hell out of me.
Yeah. And so I'm going to preface this. The referee was literally telling him to back up. He was telling him, you're this far offsides. And then, like, Robbie Chosen turns his head and he's trying to wave him down to tell him he's offsides. So there's no excuse. But I agree with you. And this is so blatant. This is so blatant. What's happening here is that it was a bogus, it was BS, really, that they called the penalty against the Chiefs in the game.
Well, I mean, he was offsides,
but it was BS. It was, they were looking to call a penalty and they would not have called that in a game between like the Jets and the Raiders
right.
this year.
Right.
The NFL has an agenda to create as much drama as they can. They needed Buffalo to win that game to create the drama coming down the stretch. It worked, whatever. But now, because it was as big a controversy as it was, they have to double down on it, right?
Yeah.
Now it's got to be like every single time that happens, because there's a microscope, every single fan is like, did this guy line up offsides? They're pausing it. They're screenshotting it. They're sharing it on social media, and it becomes a huge talking point. So naturally, this is where we're at now, is this large overcorrection from the refs, where they're looking at it in a microscope, and it's become this emphasis. And you're right. It's ridiculous. It's asinine that it's happening in the middle of the league, but it is what it is. That said, again, like Robbie, like with everything that's gone on and with as big a news that this is, for Robbie Chosen to literally make the motion to the sideline and have the official tell you you're offsides, turn your head, have the official like shouting at you, you're offsides, still not move, and then get flagged.
I mean, he deserves it.
Yeah, it was absolutely dumb from Robbie Chosen's standpoint. But anyway, there's the rant. We got that out of the way. But yeah, I mean, other than that, it was a pretty clean game for the Dolphins. And that was like they weren't turning the ball over. They weren't doing, you know, none of that kind of thing. And it was just a completely dominant game from the defense. So between being clean, I mean, what you said was you needed the offense to play smart. You needed to play clean and mistake free. And it's largely what the Dolphins did. And it was exactly the recipe for success. Like when the Dolphins forced that first turnover and they immediately turned it around into that touchdown from Raheem Mostert. Took him a few plays to run it in, but that's okay. But the fact is, that's the formula. Defense, make it easy for the offense. Offense, just do enough. And that's what they did. And it was just a perfect formula and a perfect win for what the Dolphins needed in that moment.
Absolutely. And the other piece of the formula was the defense. The defense had to dominate. And they did. And I got to give it up to Bradley Chubb.
What a game.
Chubb deserves all the credit for Christian Wilkins was dominant in this game and Jalen Ramsey was dominant in this game and a lot of guys stepped up. But Bradley Chubb, man, for this guy under such a microscope after the trade last year, the big contract, not really putting up the big numbers. And then last week, the missed sack and then throwing the temper tantrum on the field, slamming the helmet down, costing the Dolphins points in a game that they eventually lose by 1 point. A lot of fingers were pointed at Bradley Chubb, and Bradley Chubb really responded, and you have to respect that, and you have to love that as a Dolphins fan, myself included. As somebody who was not a huge fan of that trade for Bradley Chubb and has been critical of him, dude, what a game. You got to give this guy his props.
Yeah, he was a wrecking ball in this game, just playing like a man possessed, playing like absolutely like a man who wanted to make good, knows that he had made a dumb, boneheaded play in the game before. And man, did he come out like a ball of fire in this game. Play after play, he was fantastic. I mean, you could really, this is one of those games where I think you could make a list of every single player on this defense and all of them made big time, meaningful contributions. How about Andrew Van Ginkle? Played the most of the game with a broken nose. He broke his nose early in the game and played the whole game out. I mean, just, man. Determination and strength. What a performance from the Miami Dolphins defense in this game. Everybody, Vic Fangio, the players, just a tremendous, tremendous job. They decided that they were going to give the Jets no room to breathe in this game. And that's exactly what they did. I think it was halfway through the third quarter when the Jets finally ran a play in Dolphins territory. I think at one point, I think it was around halftime. I think the Jets were averaging 0.1 yards per play. It was that kind of dominant performance from the Dolphins defense. And again, I know you're going to have a lot of people say, yeah, but it was just against the Jets. It was against an NFL team. And it was a great performance. And it was exactly what the Dolphins needed. And quite frankly, it was done shorthanded. And that's the kind of thing to do that against that kind of bad team shorthanded. Says something about your team and who you are. And I think that's gotta fill the Dolphins with some kind of confidence here going forward as they now prepare to welcome the Dallas Cowboys to town as we go into those final three games. But before we go into those final three games, it's time. We gotta do it, Brain. It's time to check your pulse.
Can we check your pulse if you're not fired up?
That's right. It is time once again for a Dolphins Talk Pulse Check. This is where you give us one word to describe how you are feeling after that Dolphins victory over the Jets. So if you're watching on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, let us know in the comments. If you're watching on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, let us know in the comments. We'll share some of your answers. Brain, I'm going to let you go first. What is your one word to describe how you were feeling after that Dolphins victory over the New York Jets?
So So I'm going to use a word that I've used a few times this season. This is either the third or the fourth time that I've used this word. And the Dolphins have another opportunity to prove if whether or not they're for real, whether or not they're the same old Dolphins. And I'm ready. I am ready to see who this team is. Because now there is no place to hide. Like Mike McDaniel said in the post-game locker room speech, from this point forward, every single game the rest of the way is the most important game of the season. And he's absolutely right. And so you're going to get reactions, overreactions to every single game the rest of the way. And it's fine. At the end of the day, when this is all said and done, at the end of this three-game stretch, we're going to have a pretty good idea. And then at the end of this three-game stretch, you're going to have the playoffs, and then we're going to know for sure. There's no more easy games. Like, it can be both things. That game that we just saw on Sunday, that could be a great win, and a win that was really satisfying, and then it can also be, you know, unconvincing because of the opponent. That's fine. But it's the last time that's going to happen. Because now every single game is huge. Every single game is against a playoff caliber team. I think probably every single team that they're playing in this stretch is going to make the playoffs, but it's not a given because Buffalo is still, you know, charging from behind in that aspect. But every single team that they're playing the rest of the way in the regular season and then obviously in the playoffs is a playoff caliber team. And all of the three teams that they're playing in this stretch, I think I would argue are teams that are good enough to win the Super Bowl. Because I think right now there are eight teams that have separated themselves, depending on what you feel about the Detroit Lions. If you don't believe in the Bills, then there's six teams. But the Dolphins are definitely one of six. I think there's eight teams. I think in the AFC, there's Kansas City, there's Baltimore, there's Miami, and there's Buffalo. I think Baltimore has been the most consistent team in the league. The Dolphins have arguably as much talent as anybody in the league. Kansas City, I think, is in a down year, but they have the toughness and the pedigree that I don't think anybody would question whether or not they're good enough to win a Super Bowl. And the Bills right now are playing the best football of anybody in the league the last 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks. On the NFC side of things, San Francisco and Philadelphia have been the two best teams in football all season. Dallas embarrassed Philadelphia just a week ago. I think they belong in the conversation. I know, obviously, they had a bad game. They were, you know, you can make excuses. You can believe the excuses, not believe the excuses about the stomach bug that was going through that team. But they lost a road game against a very good team in Buffalo. And then there's Detroit. I'm not necessarily sold on Detroit, but by record, I'm willing to throw them into the conversation. But those are your best teams in football. The Dolphins are going to be playing. If the Dolphins do their job and win out, they will basically only be playing the best teams in football the rest of the way. So we're going to know how this team stacks up against good teams. It doesn't matter what the narrative is or what the narrative was 3 weeks ago. Because if the Dolphins go out and beat the Dallas Cowboys, that narrative 3 weeks ago doesn't matter. And if the Dolphins lose to the Cowboys and that narrative is the narrative for one more week, but then they go out and they beat Baltimore, well, then that narrative ceases to matter again. It's put up or shut up time. We're going to find out who this team is. We've been waiting all season for this. And I'm ready.
That's a great answer, Brain. Fantastic answer. And I think my answer is going to echo yours in a way. But let's go to the responses that we got over there at twitter.com. Javier Garcia says focused. Jorge GM says relieved. The commander is hungry. David Jappy is reinvigorated. Mr. Tim is pumped. Brent Barron is dominant. Leia Edge delivered. Rob T says maturation, which I think is a really great one, considering what we've seen in the past. Golski is terrified, which I get that. William V, is sorry for not tuning in last week. That's okay, William. We forgive you. NorCal Finns fan echoes your thoughts, Brain. Exactly. He says, ready. Finn Runner says, cautious. Nick says, hypervigilant, which I think also works. Ian Carter is euphoric after that win. Mr. Underscore C says, unconcluded. Jordan Murray is focused. Michael DeAngelis says, satisfied. Well, satisfied maybe for now. This is Doug's GT500 says, crucible. Yeah, the Dolphins are definitely at the crucible of their season. I think that's fine. I think that's a great way to say it. Here's one. UC Funky says, pissed. He's pissed because they lost that game to Tennessee and they'd be in a much better position if they hadn't. It's true, but let's not look backwards. Let's look ahead. And speaking of look ahead, I want to give my word. And first of all, a quick thank you to everybody who's been sharing their pulse checks with us throughout the season. We appreciate you participating. My word, Brain, I'm wrapped. I am just... do you need the definition of wrapped, Brain?
I need the definition. Do you look at a thesaurus when you come up with this stuff?
What's that?
Do you look at a thesaurus when you come up with
this stuff? No, that was the word popped into my head, and then I this is what I'm using.
Okay.
It's not like I'm looking at a thesaurus. I know that I've got a big vocabulary.
Clearly.
I know all the best words. So wrapped means completely fascinated by what one is seeing or hearing. And I think that's a great way to describe how I feel about this Miami Dolphins team right now. I'm fascinated because they have been so good all season. And in the three games that they played against legitimate competition, like the best teams that they faced, they lost all three of those games, but they lost them they played better in each of those games than they did in the game before. And while they completely crapped the bed in that game against Tennessee, they then turned it around and shorthanded whooped up on the Jets. So I am completely wrapped. I am completely fascinated by this team going into the final three games. And here's the thing. I think I tweeted something like this right before the game started on Sunday. Is that from here on out, every game the Dolphins play is bigger than the last one. If they win this game against Dallas, that means they're still controlling their destiny against Baltimore the following week. If they beat Baltimore, they now earn the tiebreaker to be the one seed, right? They are now firmly in the one seed, knowing that all they have to do to finish the job is then knock off the Buffalo Bills.
Maybe.
Right. Potentially. Right. Well, I mean, it is all they have to do if they win those two games.
Well, if Baltimore loses before they play us and Kansas City loses another game, then if we beat Dallas and Baltimore, we will have clinched the number one seed prior to that.
Can you look it up? Can you look up, Brain? I'm actually curious about this. I'm curious about where the tiebreaker would be if...
Three-way tie?
If there was a three-way tie between the Dolphins, Ravens, and Kansas City. I'm just genuinely curious. But regardless, the Dolphins will know. Beat Buffalo and you're the one seed. Yes, I guess there's a chance that that game isn't quite as big as the two that preceded it, but it is still set to be a massive game. And then after that, they're single elimination games. And let's not forget, I'm going to say it right now. If the Dolphins become the one seed in the AFC, that's terrific. But I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it in no uncertain terms. If the Dolphins become the one seed and in the divisional round of the playoffs, they lose at home to some whoever it is that they're playing, the season is a failure. Becoming the one seed and getting to the postseason as the one seed, that's not the goal. The goal is the Super Bowl. The goal is to win the Super Bowl. And it's one thing if you get to the AFC Championship game, at that point, all bets are off, right? Anything can happen at that point. But if you become the one seed and then lose at home, your season is a failure. And I have no bones about it. That's not to say that there aren't going to be things to take away, to positives to bring into the next year, to carry you through, and to ideally make that second year give you that opportunity to be even better the following year. But I think most objective Dolphin fans, as you're looking at it, the best, like, the window is now. The time is now. There's no guarantee that the Dolphins' defense is going to be as good as it is next year. There's no guarantee that the offense is going to be as good as it is next year. I actually think there's a decent chance that this offense will again be very dynamic and exciting to watch next season. Most of those pieces are going to be back. But on the defensive side of the ball, as we've said numerous times throughout the year, offense is much more, offensive performance one season is much more predictive of what that team is going to look like on offense the next year than defensive performances. Mm-hmm. A team can be a dominant defense one year and then significantly fall off the next year. So what I'm saying is that this is the best opportunity the Dolphins are going to have. And if they go and they get into the playoffs as the one seed, I don't care if it's the one seed, you lose that game, season's a failure. If you don't win the AFC East, you lose in the first round of the playoffs in the wild card round, season's a failure. If you win the AFC East and you lose in the first round of the playoffs, season's a failure. This team needs to prove that they can advance in the playoffs. And simply ending as the one seed in the AFC isn't it, because that's not the goal. Just like Mike McDaniel sarcastically said, congratulations, we did it. We've got the goal of being the highest of the, you know, the best producing offensive team ever after 6 weeks or whatever it was. Hooray for us. That's not the goal. The goal is to go win the Super Bowl. And the level that this team is playing at right now, nothing short of at least the AFC Championship game is going to be acceptable to me this season. They got to finish the job. But right now, I'm fascinated. I'm rapt because I can't wait to see what this team is going to do next. They've got three consecutive opportunities to prove to us that they are legit, that they are the team, that they are truly, truly the contenders that what we all so desperately want to believe that they are. It's time to enter the proving ground. And it's time to prove it now. Brain, what did you find out about the three-way tiebreaker?
It looks like if the if it happens, they would all finish at 12-5, which means that the Chiefs would not lose another. I guess it could happen that they would all finish 11-6, but then Jacksonville could potentially enter into the scenario. So the most likely scenario that they finish as a three-way tie would be they all finish at 12-5, which means the Chiefs wouldn't lose another game, and the Chiefs only have two losses in the conference. They did not play Baltimore this year. So if there's a three-way tie between Baltimore, Miami, and Kansas City at 12-5, Kansas City would be the number one seed. And then the number two seed would be whoever wins that game between Miami and Baltimore.
Okay, so there it is. So, yeah, so Dolphins know that they've got to win that game against Buffalo. There's no scenario where they're in that game against Buffalo and the one seed is, well, I guess there is a scenario. The scenario would be Baltimore. Yeah, but if they, you know, so there it is. So the Dolphins know what it is, what they've got to do. So there it is. So that's how we're feeling. And Brain, I think that's probably the place to leave it, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else that needs to be said about this game. I think as a fan base, we should all feel good that, you know, any notion that the Dolphins were going to quit and just absolutely collapse to the point where they were going to be an embarrassment and lose to the Jets, they answered that emphatically by not just beating the Jets, by destroying the Jets and just completely dominating them. And now it's about moving that forward. And it's about playing with that same attitude when everybody's patting you on the back. because this team, when everybody has patted them on the back this year, has been bad. Everybody wanted to pat them on the back after they scored 70 points against the Broncos, and then they got humbled the next week. And then everybody wanted to pat them on the back after they were the number one seed again a couple of weeks ago, and they laid an egg on Monday night against the Titans. Well, now the fan base, nationally, nobody's going to pat them on the back. Nationally, everybody's going to say, ah, big, big whoop, you beat the Jets. And they're probably right about that. Like, big whoop. And I hope that that is the way that this team is looking at it in the locker room. Big whoop. We haven't done anything, because you haven't. The fan base might be patting them on the back. The city might be patting them on the back because people are ready to jump back on the bandwagon again. But they need to not be patting themselves on the back. They need to play like everybody's out to get them the way they played this week. And
yep,
with getting a few more guys healthy, they need to take care of business.
Because there it is.
You should. It's one thing to be in these games against really good teams and to lose close games on the road to really good teams. But when you have the gift of getting them at home, and you have the gift of, you get the Dallas Cowboys after they just played the Bills, and then next week you get the Baltimore Ravens, granted it's on the road, but on a short week, flying across the country, having just played the 49ers. When you get those opportunities, the truly great teams take advantage of those opportunities. And we'll just go one week at a time, because every single week is going to be huge from here on out. It's put up or shut up time.
That's all there is to say about that. Thank you, as always, for listening. Thank you for watching. We appreciate all of you joining us live on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, on the Dolphins Talk Instagram. If you're watching on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, wherever it is that you're watching, we appreciate you being with us. Wherever it is you're listening, we appreciate you being with us. We will be back later this week to preview the big game against the Dallas Cowboys. That's happening on Thursday. But until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
The Dolphin end zone at.
We're rooting for the Dolphins. I'm out of my